Well, good morning. It's so good to see every one of you. Some great friends and family. So many here this morning to share in the greatest event ever. Jesus is alive. He is living. And that is why we're here. There's something about that event, though, that makes me so uncomfortable. Because it requires so much. It requires a decision. A decision to truly know Christ and His resurrection. You know, I think about this event and compare it to Christmas. Think about Christmas and the celebration of the gift of Christ, and we received that gift, and we did nothing to receive that gift, and we're glad to have it. And we celebrate, and there's anticipation, and some of you may be counting down the days to Christmas now, and ready for that, and the decorations come out, and the lights go up, and we're celebrating that, and we love that gift of the coming of the Son. But we come to Easter, and it's kind of dark, kind of quiet. This morning, got up and went down to the boardwalk with a few folks, and had a little sunrise service, and it was still kind of dark, kind of dim. Not very many lights, but the street lights. But just like that third day, the tomb was found empty. And it was on a dark morning, early in the morning, and it changed everything, and decisions had to be made. I believe that everyone here this morning is here for a reason. To consider again Christ and His resurrection. The question I have for you this morning is, do you know Christ and the power of His rising? Because if you do know that, it changes everything. It has to change everything. If He is Lord, if He is Christ, it changes everything. How you see the world, how you see your life, how you see your marriage, how you see your kids, how you see your job, how you see everything you do. This is the greatest event that ever happened, that a man died and rose again. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you know Christ and the power of His rising? Do you know Christ and the power of His rising? But yet, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? What are you sacrificing Jesus over and over again for? So glad to see so many friends here. This is a great place to be. This is a great place that loves well. You know, I love that about this church. I heard it said, this is a loving place. And there's people who love the Lord here, that know Christ and His resurrection and are living out of that. And guess what? It is a glorious mess of people to be a part of. But this glorious mess of people have dedicated their lives to that resurrection life, that hope that is in Him, kind of life that has revived our souls, that gives us a repurposing. If you notice the remodeling in the back there, if you haven't seen that yet, that people have laid their hands on the walls back there to say, this place needs to represent who we are, to be a place of welcome, to show the community and show people that come in how much we love. And this perfect love is so much about others. And we are so inadequate to live out that love, but we are trying. But we are trying. And we've been revived. And we've been seeing people return. Some that have been on different journeys of life, and we're blessed to see some new life and some returning life and new folks coming. And we've seen some great missions happening and people coming together. And you know, there are some real rock stars of faith here in this place that I'm like, I know nothing. Those that care so much, that give so much, that love God's Word so much, and those that are giving of themselves generously. This is the place that loves people well. And we've been opening our hearts and our tables and our building to those that are searching, that are hungry, that are lonely, that are searching. And we're glad to be able to share our greatest resource is that love of Christ. And that love of Christ is so uncomfortable because it's that other type of love. That's what love is. Love is other. You know, for God so othered the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when we invite others into our lives, it makes things uncomfortable. But that's what the Lord's love is all about, and to get to share in that. And there's no greater place for all of you that are here this morning, wherever you are on your journey, there's no greater group of people than to do life with than the people here. I believe that. There are those, many who have journeyed along in the past that you're journeying along in. And it is our desire that you would partner up with this place, that you would bring your love and your knowledge and your knowledge of Christ and His resurrection and make that a part of life here. And what a beautiful, glorious mess of a place it'll be to share in that. I love you. I just got to say that. I see some wonderful faces out here. And you know what? I love seeing the older ones and the younger ones, and I'm just right here in the middle. But you know that most churches, 78% of all churches are over the age of 40. And this morning, I almost wanted to just loosen up my collar. It's already kind of open. Can't loosen it much more. I almost want to get a cup of coffee and just sit down and talk and say, tell me about your life. Tell me about Christ. Do you know Christ and the power of His rising? And you know, I was a youth minister for 15 years and did a lot of studying on how to help parents with their kids. And they said that 60 to 90% of people that are raised in the church leave their faith when they graduate and begin to wonder why. A lot of it came back to the hypocrisy in the home. Family saying one thing at church and living in a totally different way. And if the church has let you down, those that are under 40, let me say I'm sorry. Let's talk. Because I know Christ and the power of His rising. And that changes everything. What are you holding on to? You know, many of you who have been raised in the church have known of Jesus. The question is, do you know Him? You may know of the story of the death, burial, and resurrection, but do you know of the resurrection? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, Paul speaks to a church who is trying to make sense of Christ, of the death, burial, and resurrection, and trying to see how it has impacted their worldview and how to live this out. And he says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, by which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, He was raised, and on the third day, according to the Scriptures. It says, by this gospel, by this good news, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. How many here have been raised knowing of Jesus? Knowing of the death, burial, and resurrection? Well, I was raised in the church, knowing of the love of Jesus, but I didn't really begin to know Jesus until I surrendered my life to Him. Until I surrendered my life to Him and obeyed the gospel by participating in death, burial, and resurrection and baptism. I didn't know Christ until I said, enough of me and all of thee. And I was only 10 years old, and I was compelled to surrender my life because I loved. I was compelled by His love, and I wanted to be a part of Him. And I wanted to be a part of serving with Him. I wanted to be a part of living with Him and being a part of His church. Church played a great part of my life. My family was a military family, moved around a lot, and the church was a stable part of our life. But it wasn't until I surrendered my life to Him. And it wasn't really, I began to know Him more, it wasn't until I sacrificed something of my life that I began to really know Christ. When I was in high school, I went to camp at Yellowstone Bible Camp in Montana. And every year they had a fundraiser to help sponsor some new advancement in the camp. And they had the high schoolers prepared to bring some extra money to be a part of this fundraising effort. And I was a senior in high school, and I had some jobs, and I had some money. I was getting ready to go off to college, and I saved up a lot of my money. And I had all the money that I had at my disposal. I had my checkbook. Anybody remember an old checkbook? And I was diligent, and I was pretty staunch with my money. It was for me. I worked hard for it. And I had great plans for that, to do things with that. Well, this fundraiser event was, they would put up a counselor and have an auction for these counselors, and the students would bid, and if you won the bid for this counselor, then they would make this counselor your servant for the next day, and they could get your meals and make your bed and do whatever you wanted. So that was kind of the fun way to pull the money out of us. Well, I usually didn't participate in much of that, and was kind of back on that, and didn't really care much about that part, because I loved my money. I worked hard for it. I had plans for it. It was the most popular male counselor was up for the final bid. A couple guys over here started bidding $20, $40. And a couple girls over here, they started pulling their money together, and they were $20, $40, $60. And a couple more guys started pulling their money together, and they were up to $70. A couple more girls started pulling their money, because now they were going to tag team and all try to see if they could all get a piece of this popular counselor to be their servant. And it got to about $90, and I piped in, and I said, $100. High school student, senior in high school, $100. You know, I grew up giving in church. You know, like the collection plate was passed, my parents would give me some money. You know, and when I started making some of my own money, I might give, you know, a couple dollars here or $5 every once in a while, but never that much money. And I said, $100. The guy said, with us? I said, no. The girl said, oh, you're with us? I said, no. It all went silent. And they said, oh, yeah? So a few more started teaming up, and it started going up and higher, and finally got to $150, and I said, $200! And that was enough. And he was mine. And I was so amped up. I was all caught up in this camaraderie. And then I got my checkbook out, and I started shaking. Oh, no, and now I got to pay up. And I began writing the name. And then as I was writing the name of the camp, I realized, you know, this is really not about me. I made it about me for a minute. You know, I was sacrificing this gift for my own popularity, but now I realize it's coming down to it. And I wrote a Yellowstone Bible Camp. I wrote in $200, and I signed my name, and I felt like I'd been sacrificing Jesus for myself. And so I caught up in that emotion. I went outside for a minute, and I began to weep. I began to cry because, you know, I had never given up that much. But in comparison to what the Lord has given to me, it wasn't that much. It was at that moment that I really began to experience some sacrifice by giving up something precious for myself. And the Lord gave me the song, Make Me a Servant, Lord, Make Me Like You. For You are a servant, make me one too. So not until I surrendered, not until I sacrificed, and really not until I understood sin. Not until I understood sin that I began to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Yes, I had been baptized. I had my sins washed away. I was living in the Spirit. But I didn't know sin until I was in college and I was rightfully and knowledgeably and knowingly committing sin. Till I was broken and for the very first time in my life realized that what I was choosing to do, I was sacrificing Jesus over and over again for my own good pleasures. It was the first time that I was broken, and I realized I was lost, and I was in need of saving. And I found my good friends, and I confessed my sins to them, and they lift me up, and I begin to grow into my salvation. So it's not until you surrender, not until you sacrifice, not until you know that you're lost in need of saving, do you begin to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. But I believe sometimes there are things that we hold on to. But by this gospel you are saved, Paul says. You are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. You know, one thing I barely heard growing up, I barely heard my parents say they were sorry. I barely heard the older generation confess sins. Even though I knew they didn't. As parents, as kids in a home, you know your parents messed up once in a while. But you very rarely heard them say they were sorry or confess sins. But those are some of the most powerful witnesses of people knowing Christ and knowing the resurrection is confessing those sins that separate. You know, I don't know the older generation what you're holding on to. Are you holding on to Christ, but also still holding on to those sins? It's time to maybe confess, to surrender, sacrifice. The younger generation, me included, what are we holding on to? Maybe we're holding on to Christ, but we also got a pretty firm grip on the world. Pretty firm grip on the world. Because, you know, what were we taught? What's most important? Get good grades. Do good in all your outward activities. Make a great name for yourself. Go to a great college. Make good money. Get a great job. Get a great house. Get a great wife. Have a great family. All in sacrifice of perhaps a great God. How many times are we crucifying and sacrificing Christ over and over again for these things that we're holding on to? He says, by this gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I have preached to you. He goes on in Philippians 3, in another passage, as he's writing from prison. And Paul, who had been there, done that, one who was out persecuting Christians and going against the way of Christ, and was confronted with his life, and he was spared and showed compassion, and then he began to turn his life around. He was one that was pretty up and up and all that in the world. And he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. He considers them all garbage. But how much times do we sacrifice Christ over and over again for things that will not last past this life? How many times do we sacrifice Christ for a little more rest? How much time do we sacrifice Christ for a little more money, for a little more vacation, for a little more activity? Paul says, I consider them all rubbish compared to knowing. So, do you know Christ? And do you know the power of His rising? Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do you know Christ and the power of His resurrection? Or do you just know of Him? If you want to know Christ, then talk to Him. Talking to some friends here. What kind of conversations have you had with Christ? Because you know the people you talk to. I encourage you, if you haven't talked to Him in a while, to talk to Him. To share with Him. To talk to Him. To tell Him everything about your life. If you want to know Him, you're going to share your life with Him and talk with Him. And to know Christ is to imitate Him. You know, when Christ called people to come follow Him, He was seen as a rabbi. And it was it wasn't the normal way of going about for a rabbi to look at people and say, hey, you can be my student, come follow me. But see, He saw others and said, you know what, I see in you, I believe in you, I have faith in you that you can be like me. And so come follow me, learn my ways, imitate me, walk in my footsteps. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a theologian, said that when Christ calls someone to follow, he bids them come and die. Come and die and give up your life. Imitate me. You know, I was growing up, everyone wanted to be like Michael Jordan. You ever heard of that guy? I want to be like Mike. I want to wear his shoes, hang my tongue out like him. You know, I think shows more flattery of knowing somebody is imitating them. So if you want to know Christ, talk to him. Imitate him. Spend time with him and spend time with those who were with him and those who are living for him. Well, how can I spend time with those who had been with him? That's what we have in God's Word. And why is that important to spend time in God's Word? Because this is about the man who died and rose again. That's what we have in the New Testament. We have a New Testament account of those who were eyewitnesses, of those who were with Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who talked with Jesus and wrote about living life with him. Spend time knowing him and getting to know those who were with him and getting around to know other people who know him or are living for him. I want to know Christ, so I want to talk with him, and I want to imitate him, and I want to spend time with people who are like him. And also, I want to not forget. Talk about him. Talk about him. You know, think about what you talk about. You think we say, I know Christ. How often does his life come out of your life, of your mouth? Think about all the things that you talk about. You know, things that you're into. You talk about your diet. Talk about your exercise. Talk about your work. You talk about the things that you talk about Christ, to know Christ. And then tell Christ who he is to you. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him that he is your Lord. Tell him that he is your King. Confess him with your mouth. I want to know Christ, so we have to spend time with him. How is your time spent with him? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Well, how do you know his resurrection? That's uncomfortable. Because to know resurrection, you have to know death. To know resurrection, you have to experience death. And how do we go about that? By sharing in his suffering, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. By saying, not me, but all of you, of giving up of less for myself and more for others. And guess what? We get to choose that. Have you ever thought about being able to choose your own death? Choose how you're going to die? How you'd like to go? We get that opportunity in Christ to choose now how we're going to die. I'm going to give my life and I'm going to die for the one who rose again. To know his resurrection is to know death and to share in his suffering and to become like him in death. How can we become like him in death? How can we know Christ in his resurrection? We know Christ and we know his resurrection by being baptized into his name. By being baptized, we have the opportunity to know his death by being buried in water as he was buried in that grave. Taking all of our sins there with us, giving our lives over to the one who conquered sin, conquered death, rising out of that water as he rose from the dead, as the tomb was found empty, we pour out our lives and we're filled with the Spirit to becoming like him in death. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? In other words, it means turn and point your life to Jesus. Participate in death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Claim Jesus Christ as your King. Saying, you are King and I want you to reign over my life, to lay all your life and all your burdens down at his feet. And to give your life completely over to him, having him wash away all of those sins, to remove all of those things, and filling us up with an inexpressible joy of life with the presence of God in us. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Do you believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no another way to the Father except through Him? Why do you believe that? Because it's the truth. How did you come to know that truth? I knew that. I came to know that because my parents believed it. That's how I first got to know. I came to believe it because my grandparents believed it. I came to know it because I believed that those who first saw Him and wrote about Him believed in it. I believe because I've experienced the resurrection through baptism. And I believe because God's Holy Spirit is living inside of me. There's nothing more that I could say to you than to know Christ and His resurrection. You know, I'm inadequate. I know Christ, but there's still so much I don't know. I know the resurrections, but there's still so much about that life that I don't know. But one thing I do know, that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And His Holy Spirit is living and active in those who participate in that. And when you participate in that, then you will attain to the resurrection from the dead. Are you uncomfortable? Does that make you feel uncomfortable? Because you don't know Christ, and you don't know resurrection unless you've been baptized into Christ. Unless you've experienced the death, burial, and resurrection and baptism. If you're holding back and you're moving back, those are those things that you're still holding on to. Those are those crosses. When He says, count the cost. Those are those things that are precious to us. Those are the sacrifices we're going to have to make. Those are those things we're going to have to surrender over, to let go of. To let go of that sin and confess it and say, yes, I've sinned. To confess it to the world, let go of the world and say, no more of this rubbish, this garbage that only gets to be thrown in a burn pile. But I'm going to grab hold firmly to the only thing that is eternal. And that is Jesus Christ. Died and risen again, and who is reigning now as King. I'm going to let go of it all. That's the cross to bear. That's the sacrifice. And for each one of you, that's a different thing. And letting go of these sins and letting go of the world it is a struggle. And we grow out of those things. It's hard to just cold turkey up and leave those things. Up and cold turkey, go away from those things. You know, just like my story, I'm growing out of that salvation. I'm growing into that salvation. I was baptized when I was 10 years old, but I wasn't confronted with sin until I was 22. I'm still coming to know Christ and His resurrection. Do you know Christ and the power of His resurrection? I don't know what you're here for today. But there's water in there. If you feel like your life is rolling towards death, good. Then let's bury it. Because when you die, when you feel like you're dying or something is dead, what do you do with it? You got to bury it. And if you're going to bury it, you better bury it in a place and bury it with something or someone that's going to do something with that dead life. That's going to lay that to rest. That's going to count. That's going to pay the price for that. That's going to forgive. That's going to wash that clean. And rise with new life. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And now the world changes. Now the view changes. And what is possible for my life? What is possible for my marriage? What is possible for my kids? What is possible for my job? What is possible for my hope and my future? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And there's a space here. Perhaps you've been baptized at one point. Maybe you misstepped back. Maybe you were baptized as a child, as an infant. But you know what that baptism? That was a baptism that your parents committed, that they were going to raise you to know Christ. But you must come to that place. You say, I know Jesus Christ, and I know the resurrection. I want to die to myself. They can't make that choice for you. They made that choice for themselves to raise you. Now you must come to that yourself in baptism. Or perhaps you've been baptized before in the water and you're so unsure. Unsure of that forgiveness. Unsure of the Holy Spirit to be reaffirmed to know, yes, I know Christ and the power of His resurrection, fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in death. I'm going to have my sins forgiven and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to have that assurance going forward from this day on. But perhaps you're in this space here where you're still holding on to come and share. Yes, I know of Christ, but I still quite don't know what that means to know Him. I hear what you're saying, Brian, about this death, burial, and resurrection, but I still just quite know. Well, come and share that. Come and share that thing you're holding on to. Maybe it's that sin. Maybe it's that piece of the world that said, this is going to be tough. And yes, it is. It's going to get messy. And yes, it is. But I bid you, come and die. If you come and die, you'll live. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I want to know Christ and the power of His rising. Do you know? Do you know Christ and the power of His rising? There's no greater place than this body to share that with, to walk through that journey with, to be on that journey and that discovery of knowing Christ and His resurrection more and more, to live out of ourselves and more into His likeness. And you know what? Jesus believes that you could be like Him. He calls you to come follow Him, and not as servants, not as slaves, but as His friends. And that's the greatest picture of the church, is friendship. You know, I've been blessed by some wonderful friends in my life. Those that have been through the thick and thin. And there are some great people in here that I would love to see you become deep, close friends with, to share life with, to share those struggles, to share those sins, and to talk about Jesus, to learn about Jesus, to grow deeper in love, and in Him to find purpose, to find a purpose that's going to fill what this world needs, what this community needs, what your family needs, what your life needs. It's going to fill all those things. Jesus Christ is risen and He's living. And His Holy Spirit is active in those who have died and have raised together with Him. This morning, if you want to know Christ and the power of His rising, don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Come forward now and respond to Jesus in the invitation as we stand and sing.